This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. A headline catches my attention in these last hours. This is Axios. Nathan Bomey and Zachariah Basel reporting. Trump 2.0 softens on China. President Trump left Washington 4 years ago touting a revolutionary new consensus on the threat posed by China, writes Axios. But after mentioning China just once in his inauguration address, Trump revealed he's considering 10% tariffs on China products, far lower than the 60% duties he had threatened during the campaign. Gordon, I come to you on this because there are a lot of moving parts, and you watch them very carefully. Where are we at the beginning of the Trump administration, quite separate from the Biden administration? What are we looking for? What will tell us where we're going? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. From the objective criteria, certainly Trump has gone soft on China. He's gone soft on TikTok. He's gone soft on investment review. He's gone soft on DeepSeek. Now, whether this is really a change in Trump's view of China, or whether this is a head fake, or whether this is a maneuver, I don't know. Because many people do say that he's playing a very different game in private than he's playing in public. And I know it sounds lame, but it is true. We're only going to find out as time progresses, because we certainly don't know now.
Mr. Trump, a phone call with Xi before the inauguration. The subject, trade, fentanyl, and TikTok. This is Axios reporting. A readout of the call was warm, says Axios. State media declaring the two superpowers, and this is a quote from state media on their side of the world, can become partners and friends, prosper together, and benefit both countries and the world. This sounds like salesmanship, Gordon. What do you hear in this?
Well, I hear in this apprehensiveness on the part of the Chinese regime. We've been hearing these messages now for 6 months, 9 months, where China is worried about delinking. They were worried about it at the end of the Biden administration. They're certainly worried about it now, because Trump has actually during the campaign promised 70% tariffs on China, 60% across the board, and an additional 10% for fentanyl. And that would destroy the Chinese economy. It would devastate it, because Xi Jinping, his only hope for getting out of a very difficult situation is to export more. The U.S. is the world's largest market. It cannot be replaced. And Xi Jinping has decided that he's going to test us. So this is going to be the battleground. It's going to be over tariffs and import of Chinese products.
There are other players watching this contest, and I mention them because they also are consumers. I'm thinking of our European allies, if they still are our allies. Is that a consideration for both Washington and Beijing, where Brussels goes?
Yes, and also because we know China has always tried to separate Brussels from Washington. This is long-term Chinese policy. But there's something going on here, and it's regardless of Trump. The United States has enormous inspirational impact on other countries. So as we go, they will feel comfortable in following. So if Trump were to go ahead and impose tariffs on China, then I think there would be more willingness to do that in Brussels, but also there'd be more willingness to do this in the global South. China looks to the global South as a replacement for the U.S. and the EU. I think that that's unrealistic. Especially unrealistic because we're seeing countries like Brazil, Turkey, Indonesia putting on tariffs on Chinese goods because they don't want the Chinese to devastate their local industries. And very much the same view that Europe has, same view we have in the United States.
The first Trump administration, as I recall, ended in the tragedy of the pandemic. Before the pandemic struck hard, and we knew about it, before there were orders given, mandates put out, the Chinese delegation about trade had arrived in Washington, and I believe they were sitting in the Oval Office with Mr. Trump. Phase one was at hand. What was that then? Where did it go? What did we learn from that, Gordon?
I think Trump, and he said this recently about a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and this was a reiteration of comments that he's made, that Xi Jinping is a good friend, But after COVID, he just couldn't go forward. And I think that Trump understands the maliciousness of the Chinese actions on COVID. And Trump realizes that that does limit his ability to reach an accommodation with China. And you're right. The Chinese delegation was in the East Room of the White House signing the Phase One trade deal. And people only afterwards understood that they were possibly bringing COVID to the United States. And that has left a deep impression on people. It may not affect their day-to-day views on China, but fundamentally, I think it has changed the way we look at the Chinese.
My memory is that the PRC was making promises about what they would purchase from the U.S. in order to level the playing field, and did not. Now, how many times do we get disappointed before we realize that this is a Chinese policy? And I'm not just talking about Trump one. I'm talking about Clinton, Bush, Obama, all of the above. How many times do they need to lie before we get it?
We still haven't gotten it. When Trump has been talking about going to Beijing in his first 100 days, hinting at a grand bargain, I always think about the Phase One trade deal that you referred to, because China violated that. And it violated it at a critical time for Trump, because this was during his reelection effort in 2020. And I think Beijing violated it for a couple of reasons. One of them was because they did not want to see him returning to the Oval Office.
Does Beijing believe that it defeated Joe Biden and his administration?
I think that they did not like some of the things that Biden did. I think, though, in general, they were comfortable with Biden because they felt that they could always work with him, that they could manipulate him when they really needed to. And so that's why they don't particularly like Trump, because whatever Trump does, and Trump does some things the Chinese like, but whatever Trump does, they can't predict it. And that's the one thing that drives Chinese leaders off the edge, that they are not able to work with the certainty that they would like when they deal with Americans. They can deal with hostile American presidents. They've done that in the past. They just want predictable ones.
What are you watching for, Gordon, from the Trump administration that would tell you which way they're going?
There are just so many issues across the board. If Trump does not go to Beijing in the first 100 days, that's a good sign. But if he does go, then I fear we're going to lose a lot of time. Trump eventually will come to the realization that he can't work with China, because China will violate any understanding, deal, or pledge they make during that trip. But we're going to lose time. And time right now is critical for the defense of our country.
Well, we'll tell you that the policy is hardening and there's confrontation. 30 seconds.
That Trump insists that the algorithm on TikTok be taken away from China, or be expropriated, or somehow that they will not allow China to use that algorithm against the United States.
All right, the TikTok Mac trip from Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.